You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
This is Paula Kidd Casey. Welcome to my show, The Lawyer of Attraction, on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Welcome. I'm very happy you're here this week. Woohoo, we made it through another week. We are still kicking. We are still here. Everybody in my world is still doing well. I hope everybody in your world is still doing well. Sending all the best energy out to everyone. You know, we're all stuck at home now, so get on a lot of YouTube channels and a lot of podcasts and go back and listen to mine, because there's so much amazing information out there that we all can use and we can all utilize in our lives and take our lives to the next level. And speaking of taking our lives to the next level, I have such an amazing guest today. He is the producer of the brand new film, How Thoughts Become Things, that is coming out April 24th, Doug Vermaeren. And I cannot tell you how excited I am that I was able to reach out to him and that he agreed to be on my show. He has some amazing ideas on how people can take their businesses and their lives to the next level, as well as this creativity that he's putting out there for making movies and making this new movie, How Thoughts Become Things. It's going to be available online. You can become an affiliate and sell it and make some money off of it. So that's another option that he's going to talk to you about. It is a fun show. It is one that you really need to listen to and stay till the very end. So we will be right back with Doug Vermaeren. And we are back with Doug Vermaeren. Doug, thank you so much for being with us today.
Excellent to be with you, Paula. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am so thrilled that you're here. You have a big announcement. You have a big movie coming out, How Thoughts Become Things. And I know that our current situation has kind of stopped that from going one way, but I think it's probably going to explode another way. So congratulations on your new movie coming out.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I would love to know, and I know my audience would love to know, how you got here. Give us your journey on how you started along this whole road. I know that you're big into Napoleon Hill, as I am. You know, Think and Grow Rich is the Bible for a lot of. Tell us how you got started.
Well, it's interesting. Growing up, I really didn't have a background in personal development. Like my family, my parents, they didn't really know about these things. In fact, my father worked in construction. My mom babysat kids in the home. And I like to kind of say we were stuck in the poverty pattern. In other words, their idea of success was simply to work harder.
Sure.
And that's what we make the difference. And so when I was in my late teens, I kind of thought that that was the way that I would become successful too. So I was going to work. That was my intention. And the jobs that I had and the things that I was doing, actually, I wasn't having a lot of success. And so I was feeling kind of discouraged and frustrated. I felt like I was just kind of turning my wheels and nothing was happening. And at about that time, a friend gave me the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. In fact, he gave me two books. He gave me How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie and Think and Grow Rich.
That is so interesting. You know,
yeah,
what a turn that did with your life. I just want to put in here, my grandfather, I was born in the 50s. I remember on the floor in his office, those two exact books.
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't that funny? You know, I didn't, and the time remember, but now I look back, I know that that was it. So how interesting that somebody gave it to you. Why did you even decide to read them?
Well, to tell you the truth, at first I wasn't that interested because I didn't really think that they would help me. And so it's funny that as he gave me How to Win Friends and Influence People, he said the first person you need to become friends with is yourself. And I'll be honest, I was a little offended. I was offended at that. I thought that that was kind of like a mean thing to say. But okay, I got that maybe I didn't really believe in myself or trust myself the way that I ought to. So, you know, I started reading that book, but when he showed me Think and Grow Rich, just the title alone, I was like, yeah, that's the way to do it, right?
Right, that's the one I want. Yeah. I want the one with Grow Rich on
it. I want the one rich and you just got to think about it. That makes sense, right? So as I read that book, I was impressed by quite a few things, but I also became jealous of one specific thing. The things that obviously expanded my thinking was the fact that I really had more control over my destiny than I had ever believed.
Absolutely.
But the thing that made me jealous was that Napoleon Hill, to write that book, had met with some of the top achievers of his day, people like Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, the Rockefellers, the Wrigleys, Andrew Carnegie, and the list goes on. And so I thought that old saying that says, you know, if you hang out with four losers, you get to become the fifth. I realized I was hanging out with people that were not lifting me higher.
Or maybe you were one of the four losers, but we went out of that one.
I probably was. I certainly was. And so I really knew that if I wanted to rise to higher levels, I needed to start leveling up who I was learning from and who I was surrounding myself with. But like I said, I didn't know much about personal development. So the only thing I knew was what Napoleon Hill had done, and that was to start surrounding yourself with some of the top achievers. So I started with those that I knew, millionaires that I had access to through either our community or our church or people that I'd known. Now, keeping in mind, my family was not on the same social status with them. So it was kind of an uphill climb to get in those introductions. And then from there, what happened is
but
at the end.
But let me just say how courageous that was. How courageous that was to even ask for introductions. And did you get that through the church? Is that probably?
Well, through church and community. But here's the deal is, as a young man doing it, I didn't know that there was such a thing as no. Like, I didn't know people would shoot you down. I hadn't had a lot of rejection yet in life. And so when I went cheerfully optimistic. And the
and
other
expectation,
thing,
right? You expected it to work
I expected
out,
it. But the other thing that was kind of interesting, and this is maybe important for your listeners to understand too, is that I had a mission at that point. I knew what it looked like and I could articulate it clearly to others. And I've always found since that if you have a goal that is specific and clear, it is attainable and near. And if you can describe it articulately to others and it makes sense, they're more inclined to help you. And so as I shared this with people, one of the questions that one of the mentors taught me at the end of one of our sessions, he said, you haven't asked me who else I know that could help you.
Oh,
right. So now I began to ask that of every top achiever that I met. And that's what got me introduced to people like Richard Branson, Oprah Winfrey, Donald Trump, Ellen DeGeneres, Mark
wow.
Cuban, Steve Jobs, Warren Buffett, all these people. I would always ask at the end, who else do you know that might be able to help me answer these questions? Now, when I was 19, this was back in the 90s. This is before the internet. And so, you know, I mean, the information I was getting was not available in books. It was not available anywhere else. These firsthand visits with these mentors, no one had ever done this since Napoleon Hill.
Right.
So as soon as I started gaining momentum, I really started gaining a lot of attention. And, you know, my success followed. So people were now willing to take notice of what I was learning.
I love it. And you're called the modern day Napoleon Hill. And now I understand why. Because he talked to the top 500 people in his time. And it sounds like, oh my gosh, so did you. So you did that in the 90s. So you've been working on this for 30 years?
Seems. And I'm still doing it now, by the way.
Sure.
I'm still seeking out those leaders to interview and so forth. And the kind of neat thing about this is right now, like most of my work, I do a lot of work with entrepreneurs and people who are, you know, they've got an idea, they want to start a business or they want to grow their life or whatever. And so what I've done, because I've got these relationships with the top achievers, some of the biggest brands in the world, we actually have brought them on as faculty into my program. So we've had people like the founders of FedEx teaching our people, the former CEOs of Nike, Reebok, the Avita Group, Fruit of the Loom, Christian Dior, even Uber, companies like Expedia, Hotels.com, all these people, they actually come in and teach alongside me, the students that we have. So our people get really incredible results. There's nobody doing this, right?
That is brilliant. And that is so amazing that you are offering that to the people that you coach. So, So go back to in the 90s, after you started talking to all these people, what did you do with that information?
Well, you know, the first thing that I did is, I don't want to say that I played dumb, but I kind of did, because I wanted the help of these mentors to help me. I honestly didn't really know what to do with not only the information, but as people started asking me now, come out and speak to our group. Well, I came out and I'd speak, and I really enjoyed the idea of speaking and training, But I didn't know you could do that as a business. And I also didn't know any speakers. And I kind of say jokingly, thank goodness I didn't know any speakers because they're all broke. Had I gotten advice from these speakers and coaches, I would have gotten bad advice. So I would turn to, say, for example, Frank McGuire, who's the former VP of marketing for all of KFC, or he was one of the four founders of Federal Express. And I would say to him stuff like, how do you build a speaking business? If I want to start teaching this, how would you do it? And so in a very, very short space of time, I went to $1.6 million inside of 6 months using their strategies to grow my business. That's about $9,000 a day. And I had other business ventures too that I started bringing in. And so, you know, I know we look at Tony Robbins and think he's made this enormous amount of money over his career, but he didn't do it out of the gate. I did. And so just the approach that we did was very, very different from what anyone else in the industry is doing. And then I shifted in terms of, like, I didn't really want to make my primary income as a speaker. And there's a couple of reasons for that. And I guess,
but
just
that's what you made your money from the first 6 months was being a speaker.
Well, I started doing that. Then I got involved in what we call business, real estate, investment, intellectual property, and your networks. Those are where all money is always going to be made. But one of the reasons I share that I don't make all my money from speaking is because I know there's a lot of guys that are out there right now selling programs that I can help you do this, I can help you do that. Right. But the truth is, if you look at the real sort of due diligence behind it, the real truth of what's going on is they made their money as a speaker, not in the real world. They made money selling you programs.
Right.
So for them to teach you how to make money isn't really an honest thing. It's not full of integrity because they don't really know how to make money outside of personal development. So when it comes to, say, for example, let's say you come to me for coaching and you're opening a bakery or something, for example. Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is I can actually turn to one of my top achievers that have done that. And together we can help you because they've accomplished a multi-million dollar international business as a bakery, for example. Or, for example, one of my really good friends is Brian Smith, who's the founder of UGG Boots. Uh-huh. You want to release a clothing line? Well, I'll just call up Brian and we'll get Brian on the phone with you and we'll figure out how to really do it. I'm not speaking as now a seminar salesperson. We're here as business consultants that have really done big business before.
How inspirational. And it's also transformational because you're taking people that aren't something and you're turning them into something they are instead of, because, you know, words don't teach, experience teaches, and you're bringing that experience to the party when you're helping people. So,
and the truth is in growing business, if you want to be effective, by the way, I'm also here to tell you that most business coaches today are behind the times. Business is not operating like it ever did traditionally. The world does not operate according to business hours. It doesn't operate as a brick and mortar. It doesn't operate how it's ever operated before. So if you're getting a business coach to help you, you've got the wrong thing. What you need is someone who understands the entrepreneurial marketplace of today. And because I have the traditional business leaders and the understanding of today, I'm currently doing 8 figures in passive income every year through my businesses. And there's nobody else today in the personal development space at all who's doing that. There's just nobody. And I don't say that to like brag. I'm saying I want you to get results. Motivation isn't your goal. Results is. And if you've got a business, you've got to understand how to be in today's marketplace and get the results that you need.
You know, especially in today's marketplace when because I know we've got a new normal out there, but I'm sure you're going to tell everybody that there's still a lot of opportunity. In fact, maybe even more so. We were talking about that before we really got on, that things in certain areas are actually speeding up. Do you find that, especially with our stay-at-home orders?
100%. It's all exploding. And here's the other thing, too, just to kind of point out. I know there's a lot of so-called business gurus online right now that are telling you got to hustle, you got to grind, you got to get the side hustle. But the problem is they're not telling you what to do during that time. Right.
And the
object of the business is not to be busy. It's not to build yourself a prison where you've got to work more because that's just an extra job. What you need to be doing is learning the systems that while you're hustling, you're building things that build you not only your profits, but also your freedom. And that's the thing that most of these guys are missing. They just don't understand how to do it. So that they default, if you will, to that idea of hustle, hustle, hustle. But that's not the goal. That's actually very bad advice.
And hurry is a negative emotion. It means there's fear. Oh, so if you're hustling, you're hurrying.
It's a scarcity. It's a scarcity mentality.
It is. So hurry means there's not enough there. You know, and I love that I did some research on you. That competition is scarcity, right? Because if you're creative, we know that there's the universe we can create from, that we're not fighting over a piece of the pie. And I think that hustle thing is there's only this one pie. We got to get our piece of it. So give us some ideas. Go ahead.
It's even that saying, actually, I was talking with my son about this, even this idea where they say, if you're not first, you're last. That's actually totally scarcity mindset.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't work. The truth of it is, as you've heard the saying that says, nice guys finish last. Well, a mean person may finish first, but they'll never be invited back again.
Oh.
And so this idea of a nice guy finishing last is incorrect. You want to be a nice guy so that you can continue to participate again and again and again. And scarcity doesn't just manifest itself in terms of saying there's not enough or I'm not enough. Scarcity also manifests itself in competition, criticism, jealousy, any kind of thing that's not as expansive. That's a form of scarcity thinking. And all big business is not based on scarcity. It's based on synergy and collaboration. So if we can learn how to work with other people, we'll find that we'll grow exponentially. In fact, one of the things I always tell my students in our Entrepreneur of Influence program, when they always say, I can't find customers, I can't find sales. My question is, it's because you're looking for customers. That's why. Don't be looking for customers. And then they're all like, what does that mean? And my answer to that is look for joint venture partners and collaborators who already have
your customers. Oh my God, I love that. Yes.
Yeah, don't look for customers, look for partners. And you'll find that they will bring the customers with them, right? It's just a much better mindset. And no business coach is talking about this now because they don't understand how business really works. Like, I mean, when you have an idea and you say, wow, like Harvard said that the average person can have $6 million ideas per year. And I think that that's low. I think most of us have more than six ideas that could turn into $1 million per year, many, many more. But the problem is if you've never built a business over 100,000 or even 400,000, you don't know how to build one to seven figures, and you certainly don't know how to do it to eight, right? And most of the people are getting bad advice from business coaches that have never even built a six-figure business. So you've got to understand there's a different way of thinking. If you want to be successful, you need the best to help you to get to your best. That's really what life is about. How do you unlock your best, right?
Right. And so you help bring the best of the people to your students, the ones that come to you to do that, right?
Well, I'd say that's one way of looking at it, but even more so, I bring the best so that we can find your best. Because your business isn't really about what we can coach you doing. It's actually helping you to discover what you need to do so you can unlock your best. You've already got most of your brilliance is within you. You know, here's another thing that a lot of gurus are saying right now that's totally wrong. They say to become successful, you need to step outside of your comfort zone. And that's not true. In fact, there's a lot of things I'm not comfortable with. I don't like to do my own dental work. I don't cut my own hair. I don't do a lot
of
things I don't
do. Yes.
Right? Yeah, I'm not comfortable. And if you look at what Napoleon Hill said, he said the riches are in the niches, which means we get not into our comfort zone, but into our brilliance zone.
I love
things
that.
Things that we're really good at, right? And then we should be delegating the rest, right? The things that we're not really good at, you find somebody that is good at those things and you delegate it as quickly as you can to them. And that's the way you're going to scale and grow. Again, back to this idea of collaboration and joint ventures. All successful businesses, all successful ventures, all things of success that have ever been created, whether it's climbing on the moon or walking on Mount Everest or winning a gold medal, it's always been done by a team. So you'll never do it by yourself. You need the right team around you. And don't settle for people that don't recognize your best or can't give you something that allows your best to expand.
So I like the word best because I think there's another word that's off, that's when you're authentic, right? So we talked about Bob Proctor because I'm one of his consultants also, but he talks about the word praxis, which is pretty much that your thinking, your feeling, and your actions are all in harmony. And I think when you were saying nice guys finish last, that's not true because if you're authentic, you're going to get there one way or the other because once we understand the power that runs to and through us and we grasp into that authenticity, I think that's when we can become our best.
Yeah, and I think authenticity is very misunderstood because a lot of people say, you know, I don't worry about what's true. I worry about my truth.
Uh-huh.
And they miss some things when they become selfish. That's an authentic, selfish point of view, right?
Uh-huh.
So let me share something that might expand your thinking on that. Number one, in order for authenticity to be fruitful for you, to produce results, it needs to be also according to natural law, meaning
Absolutely.
That there's certain laws of the universe that if you think that you're too good for them, like if you think you can beat gravity right now and jump out a window, good luck. But here's the other thing, too, is authenticity isn't about always what you like. let me show you something. I've got a Sharpie here and some paper. So let's say that you've just now discovered your passion and your purpose, okay? Most people say for authenticity, you've got to have your passion and your purpose. And I see tons and tons of gurus all over the world who say, if you find that, you can become successful. I'm here to say that that's incorrect. It's a very selfish point of view. And if you have a business that, let's say your passion and your purpose is to color coordinate Beanie Babies, and that's what it is, no one's going to find that valuable and no one will support you in that. So, you know, Warren Buffett's, he said something interesting one time. He said that what you love about you is your hobby. What others love about you is your business. So what I'm going to suggest is if you want to find your truest authenticity, you find where your passion and purpose actually overlaps the passion and purpose of others.
I love it.
And this now becomes your sweet spot. And the reason this also becomes your sweet spot is not because there's also the most profit there. There will be the most profit there because you'll find people that resonate with you. You've heard the saying, if you get my vibe, you'll become my tribe. That's a manifestation of this.
Sure.
But in that area where you overlap, we all know as business that there's days that it's tough, right? There's days that it's not easy. But if you find this place here, not only will you make money, but as you're working, you'll be validated. People will recognize the value of what you bring to your marketplace, and they'll support that, and you'll feel encouraged, and you'll be able to keep going, and you will literally be able to rise as a leader. You will be able to learn every day. You'll give the commitment every day to become better in your field because it resonates with people, and they validate it. And I think that's an important part of authenticity that most people don't understand.
That's amazing. So let's talk about, for those on the radio, he's got two circles. So it's kind of a Venn diagram. So you've kind of got two overlapping circles. And the middle is what your purpose and passion overlaps, what other people's purpose and passion is. How do we find that middle part? Tell us how we find that middle part, the sweet spot.
Well, I think, there's a lot of things that we can do to discover that. But I think really one of the biggest things that most people neglect to do is, again, they try to do it on their own. They try to come up with the answers on their own of what they should do in their business and what they should serve. And I think the key to it is asking questions of those that you're going to serve. Let me use another example. We hear of a lot of people who say, I'm going to write a book, and then they go lock themselves in a hotel room out in Maui somewhere, and they spend 2-3 weeks writing a book, and then they come out, and they try to sell it to everybody, but no one wants it, and it ends up sitting in their garage, and they're like, oh, well, I spent all this time writing a book. Why doesn't anybody want it? The better way to write the book would be to start by asking what those you serve need to solve. What are their problems? What are their concerns? What are their challenges? What are their hopes and fears? What are their dreams? And then where that overlap is, that's where we're going to direct our efforts. So in other words, every book that you ever write should technically be co-written. It should be you and those you serve writing the book, right? And along the way, that might mean you've got to learn some things and have some research and so forth, but that only makes you a stronger person. If your business has constantly got its finger on the pulse of what people really need and you're listening, it won't take long till you rise to be the business of choice in that market. Now, let me share with you something interesting because I run a program called Entrepreneur of Influence. And a lot of times people come up and they say, well, you know, does that mean how many subscribers I get on YouTube or how many people follow me on Instagram or like me or whatever? Not at all. In fact, the audience that you have that is with you, it's not a matter of quantity. You want the quality. It's not a matter of having people who will click like. It's a matter of people who will say, I care. Because I'd rather have a group of 6 people who care than 1,000 who couldn't be interested. Right? And this is the problem with most businesses is they think that influence is about the followers and the truth is, it's about the impact. And so when we're teaching people about this and this idea, you're asking, how do I discover that in the middle? The first thing you got to do is have more conversations with those that you serve and don't be afraid for feedback that might not be what you want to hear. Most companies, when they start out, they create the product and the services that they think everybody wants. And that's where they fail. You know, you should first of all be listening to what they want and then understand how to create transactions around that. And that's a whole other conversation. So we can spend weeks on this. This is fun.
And we may. I may be back next week to do that. I love it. I love it. So how do people find that tribe to go out and do the interviews? Because you did a lot of interviews at the very beginning. That was one. How do they do that?
Well, I think the first thing, again, like I said, is you need clarity on your mission.
Okay, that's good. When
I first started, you know, this was a learning curve because I didn't, in fact, focus on business people at the outset. I was actually interviewing everybody. And Napoleon Hill didn't do that at the beginning. He focused specifically on one group. But at first I went out, I interviewed Olympians, people who won Academy Awards, people who were on TV, people who, you know, any kind of success I interviewed, basically. Uh-huh. You know, arts, entertainment, athleticism, business, everything. And I found some very valuable things there. And there was a lot that we, you know, still use in our teachings today. But I found as soon as I got very focused on what my mission was, is to learn how to help entrepreneurs, specifically people who were either in the first 3 years of their business or people who had an idea but had not yet started a business. As soon as I understood where I fit and, you know, what I wanted to teach, I could now ask the questions of those people. You've heard the saying that, you know, success is not trying to please everyone. It's trying to, you know, please a very select group. This is what you need to do. You need to get very narrow with. In fact, here's another way to kind of share it just for your people who are kind of able to watch this. What I've drawn now is I've drawn a funnel. And the problem with most people is they try to serve everybody. They say at the top of the funnel, you know, the big lip, the right. cup. They say, you know, if I can serve more people, if I can meet more clients, if I can put out more marketing, if I can right. more, that's the key. If I can do this, that, then I'll get more. But they don't. It actually turns into less.
And if you look at funnel, right.
Funnel. But if you look at all the top achievers in the world, what they do is they actually turn this around.
Ooh, he's turned the funnel upside down, folks.
Yeah. you've got the narrow spout at the top now. And I'm not saying do less. What I'm saying is do better and be more focused. Set better boundaries and don't take on everything. And you'll find that you get more. Again, it's that idea we just talked about where the riches are in the niches. You find your brilliance zone, you get into it, you develop it, and you focus on narrow things rather than trying to be a master of all things, like a right. jack of all trades.
Things and master very specific.
Yeah, we're no longer generalized. We're specific to who and what we serve. And that's a really big component of getting access to those top achievers. So kind of what happened is the more of these people that I would meet and the more that they could see that I was literally, let's call it an expert in training, the more they were willing to give me their friends. And one of the things that was really important, this just came to my mind, is honor your commitments. So I had one gentleman, for example, that I met, and he said, well, when I called him on the phone, I said, could I have 15 minutes? And he said, yes. And so when I showed up, no kidding, he pulled out a stopwatch.
Oh, my.
I had never seen that before. But thank goodness I was prepared and I had my questions. So I was done inside of 15 minutes and I honored that. So anyways, he told me after he'd be happy to meet with me again because I kept my promise. I had my questions prepared. I was someone that he could give time to. And funny enough, one day he called me out of the blue and he just said, hey, are you still doing that study of successful people and stuff? I was like, yeah. He says, I've got with me today, I'm here with the president of Quaker Oats. We're buying a real railway in Costa Rica, a railway company. Would you be interested to talk to him? Here he is. So he would actually put people on the line for me that I could speak to. He'd make introductions. And so I think that's a really important thing when they can see that you're prepared and you honor your commitments, they will open doors for you. And that had happened many times that they would then introduce me to other people and I wouldn't even be asking for it.
And I think you said earlier that you feigned ignorance or something, but it was really more humility or openness that you didn't know it all. I think if people go into a situation that they realize they don't know it all and they're open to learning new things, don't you find that everybody wants to help you? They want to take you to that next level?
They do. They do. And in fact, it's interesting. We often talk to a lot of business owners. And when I'm on television, like on Fox and CNN and stuff, this question's come up a lot. What's the number one thing that keeps entrepreneurs from succeeding today? And it's teachability.
I love
Most
that,
people
yes.
feel as though they already have all the answers. And here's the deal. You've heard this saying before, you can be rich or you can be right. You can't be both. And if you choose to be right, your ego will prevent you from receiving what needs to expand. And any company or organization or individual that feels that they've learned it all already, they're becoming obsolete. With everything they feel like they've learned already, they become more and more obsolete. Look at Blockbuster Video. They figured they had it all figured out. And in the end, they had to shut their doors. They couldn't even compete, right? One of my mentors also said it this way, which was interesting. He says, if you want to see how smart you really are, take a look at your bank statement. Because it's a report card of how well you understand business, life, and everything else. And for some people who are maybe watching this, because I know this is the Law of Attraction show, you may say, well, money doesn't matter. But if you look at the book, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wallace.
Oh, my God. I'm teaching that right now. Yes.
So what he said, and this is a direct quote, depending on what version of the book, there you are, what version of the book you have, this is on about page 10 or 11, he says, whatever may be said in praise of poverty, the fact remains that a person is not truly successful until they are rich. So in other words, if you want the law of abundance or the law of attraction to attract abundance into your life, it will manifest itself in every way, and your bank statement will be affected by it. So if you think you're abundant, but you're broke, you're lying to yourself.
Right, because it's a vibration. It's a frequency. Abundance is a frequency.
And it will affect everything. Your relationship, your health, your finances, everything. Everything will be affected. When abundance hits you, it hits you in every single way.
Right. And he goes on to say that we cannot enjoy what we were meant to enjoy or live to the highest level unless we can experience everything. And we can't do that without money. I mean, the biggest fallacy is that we have to pay attention to poverty because all we're going to get is more poverty. You know,
The thing that I've seen where people start bringing poverty into their life, it really is a result of fear because they've never had money before or they are afraid they don't know how to use it. It's a tool. It's the same as if, let's say you were a doctor or let's say that you were called to be a doctor today to do open heart surgery. Right now, Paula, I'm calling you. Here's a scalpel. Go. Well, that's a tool that you don't know what to do. Here's somebody's heart. Let's see what do we do, right? And because it makes you afraid, you'd rather put it down. You'd rather not have anything to do with it, right? And that's the way most people are with money because that's a tool that they've never been comfortable working with. They don't understand much about it. But rather than ask the questions and learn, it's so much easier to cast it aside from you and put up a barrier that says, I'm not going to pick it up. I don't want to accept it. I'll have abundance in other areas of my life, but this is the one that I can't do. So it's
make
really
excuses for it and stuff. Well, and give us an idea of the tools that you're going to talk to people about money.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, and I wish we had more time because I do a complete course on how to take your business into a more passive income stream. And the truth is there's only two things you can ever sell. That's an asset or a service. They can only ever happen, whether it's business, real estate, investment, intellectual property, or your networks. And then it's a matter of building systems around those so that everybody asks, what should I do? That's the question they ask. Or they say, how am I going to get it done? And those are two of the worst questions of all time. Do you know what the number one best question that you need to ask when it comes to building a business and creating systems?
No, the best question,
it's not what or how, it's who.
Ah.
Who is going to do this or who's going to help me? Because you're not, the problem is you've heard the saying that we want to work on our business, not in our business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only way you're going to escape is if someone takes your place. Right?
Uh-huh.
And the only two things that can ever take place is to delegate it to someone or to automate it. Those are the only two things you can ever do, right? So the question isn't what should I do or how could I do it? The question is who's going to do this? And you get the smartest person that you possibly can to work for you. And you're going to find that they will do a better job making money for you than you'll ever be able to do for yourself.
Wow, one that's of the things amazing.
And one of the things that I love was what John D. Rockefeller once said about making money. He said, so many people are working so hard, they don't have time to be rich. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
And if you think of most business owners that we meet, they're so head down into trying to make the next paycheck or get the marketing out or get this done or that done, that they really don't see their business for what it is.
Well, and people want to be successful and rich so they have freedom, but they don't have the freedom because they're spending all their time trying to make the money.
Yeah, and here's the equation that most people get wrong. Time does not equal money. It never will, no matter how much you inject. What equals money? It's systems.
Systems.
Equals
I love
money,
that.
Not time. Time has nothing to do with money. You know, I make money when I sleep. I make money when I'm playing with my grandkids. I make money when I'm. It has nothing to do with my activities. It has a lot to do with the systems that I create. You know, I'm just about to actually work on a book called The 6-Minute Workday. I know that Tim Ferriss, who's a friend of mine, he put out the book 4-Hour Workday. I think that's too much work. Okay?
I like you already. I like the 6-Minute Workday.
I do 6-Minute. And people ask, well, what is that about? Well, once the systems are set up in place, your day should really be spent improving the systems and training others who are going to work within those systems. There's nothing else that you should be doing. Anything in terms of like bookkeeping or maintenance and all that, it's all 100% delegated. Anything in terms of, you know, selling or marketing, that's all can be delegated. Or even product creation or even the service of it, that can all be delegated. But the one thing that you can't delegate as a leader is you need to train and you need to build better systems every day, better and better systems.
And that reminds me of another thing in Science of Getting Rich. He says, you know, when you deal from the competitive, you stop anybody else from getting successful. When you deal from the creative, you have a ladder and then people can follow you up. So, you know, if we can bring in people that are going to do these wonderful things, we're also helping them to get up that ladder to understand 100%. This whole system.
So you used an interesting word there. You said compete. Now, you remember earlier, I also talked about collaboration and joint ventures.
Right.
Uh-huh. And that's where you go for your customers. So let's take a look at this word, compete. That's the word compete. C-O-M-P-E-T-E.
Uh-huh.
What you need to also do is don't compete anymore. You're not in business
right,
to compete.
Right, that's a negative. That's a scarcity, yes.
It's a scarcity, but if you also think about you've got an empire, let's call it your empire. You mean you're going to go head-to-head with somebody else's empire? That's like two big kingdoms fighting each other. There's going to be a lot of casualties, and no one in the end is going to win. So what you want to do is instead of compete, add one letter. What did I turn that into?
Oh, complete. Oh, that's
what you're going to do now. You're going to, instead of competing, you're going to complete. So you're going to look at those that are in your marketplace and you're going to say, what are they not doing? Where are they not serving? Who are they not helping? But then remember, they've got customers already, right? So now you're going to say, how can I joint venture with them to leverage something that will create something bigger for the two of us? How can we create synergy so what they're lacking, I can complete? And what I'm lacking, they can complete, and together we can serve at a much higher level, and both of us will win. In fact, one of my mentors said it this way, what would you rather have, a complete grape, you know, a little green grape, uh-huh. or would you have half a watermelon? Well, I'd take half the watermelon because it's so much bigger, but half a watermelon means I need an extra hand to carry it, right? So uh-huh. we look for ways that we can complete and work with people rather than compete against them. There's no value in competing.
And that is such an important part. And that brings us kind of into the law of attraction, because whatever we put out there, we're going to get back. And if we're on a competitive edge, that's all we're going to get is other people competing with us. So when we right. want to be creative, we know that comes from a higher source. Tell us about how all of this led into the movie that's coming out, How Thoughts Became Things.
Thank you. And how that came together. Well, you know, this isn't actually my first movie.
I saw that, The Opus. Right?
Yeah.
I found that one. Yeah.
So as I was doing my interviews with the top achievers way back in the 90s and stuff, I actually had already met most of the people that you saw in the original movie, The Secret, in 2006. Uh-huh. And a lot of my background is film and TV. So kind of what happened is when The Secret came out, I had already had ideas to make a movie. A lot of the, like at the time, DVD stores and that, they didn't have a place for personal development documentaries.
Right.
They just didn't know where to put them even in a category. And so everyone had always said, no, there's no market for this. No one's interested in a movie about how to get to your goal.
How to get rich. How to be happy.
No one's interested in that. And so I tried, but no one was responsive. But then all of a sudden, What the Bleep came out and The Secret came out mm-hmm. and a few other films like that. And suddenly everyone was interested. But I already knew the people. So I called them all back and we made a movie, my first movie, The Opus. Random House did 23 languages worldwide with the book.
Wow.
Featured Jack Canfield was in it, Mark Victor Hansen, Joe Vitale, Marcy Shymoff, Morris Goodman, Bob Doyle, John DeMartini, many of these guys. And so that was a really fabulous movie. It's now rated among three personal development movies of all time.
Wow.
So because that movie did so well, we were invited back to do a few others. So my second movie was called The Gratitude Experiment. And interestingly enough, when I went and did the success interviews, one of the things that I found to be very different than what most personal development people were teaching about success and many of the books, like if you read the books on success, they always talk about goal setting, time management, and all these things. But there's one principle that the top achievers talked about always that is never in those books, and that's gratitude.
Gratitude.
Yeah.
The highest level of energy you can be on.
100%. Yeah. So I decided to make a movie on that. And in that movie, we brought Bob Proctor, Mary Morrissey, Marie Diamond, John Gray, who did Men Are From Mars. Just the whole gang again. And that movie did really, really well for us. And it's in the top 10 right now. And then we did another one called The Treasure Map, which focuses on the mindset of abundance and the law of attraction, but a lot of practical strategies that you can use how to get to 7 and 8 figures. And in there, again, just a ton of really great people. People.
So now, are these available like on Amazon? Are these available somewhere people can get those?
Yes,
three?
Yes, they're all online. You can either get them, you know, through my website, or if you just Google things like the Opus movie, you're going to run into
Okay.
And you'll find them all. But kind of what was interesting is as we did those movies, there's always been a couple of big questions that I still wanted to answer. And even though I'll tell you about this movie, don't worry, it's not my last. We've got a few other ones coming up. In fact,
oh, good, because I love
four
what
more
you're doing.
After this. Yeah,
I'm so excited.
I might let the cat out of the bag on what's next. But so as we were doing these movies, there was always something that kind of bothered me a little bit. When I watched The Secret, Mike Dooley said, "Thoughts become things." Remember that? Real dramatic, like.
Yeah. And Mike Dooley's one of my mentors, one of my friends.
And Mike's awesome. But the question that remained to me when I saw that was, how?
How?
Like, mm-hmm. Right? And so I went and I met with a friend of mine that was a neuroscientist who worked on the brain, and she had done brain surgery, and she's just one of the smartest people on the brain that I've ever met. And she said, and I asked, "What do you think about this law of attraction stuff? What do you think about, you know, thoughts becoming things?" And she said, "Well, you know, the one thing about it is that it's not really a law." And I was like, "What?" And she says, "Well, from a scientific point of view, laws are where we can take a certain set of variables that are quantifiable, and they work the same for everyone, and it will always come with the same outcome."
Uh-huh.
And the law of attraction isn't a law in the sense that you can't put in X amount of units of happy thinking, X amount of units of happy, you know, this and that and,
right.
and that. And all of a sudden for every single person in the universe, they arrive with a Ferrari at the end. And it just doesn't work that way. And so she said, "What it is, it's a theory." Now, as I had that conversation with her that day, I was like, I really now want to know how thoughts do become things, not only from a quantum physics point of view and a scientific point of view and a neuroscience point of view, but even from our feelings. And so I began to research that, and we came up with some really incredible findings that no one's talked about yet in any film or in any book. And so we've got something really special to share here. And by the way, I might mention that a lot of people look at the words "how thoughts become things," and they think that thoughts, what we have control over to right. some extent, and things that are out there around us in the world, those are the most two important words in that phrase, but they're not. The how,
uh-huh.
the systems and the strategies and the concepts that you use, and also the become, the process of change.
Yes,
those are
the
most important words.
Right.
And when you understand how this all comes together, now you've got something powerful. And so this movie comes out on April the 24th, just in a couple weeks from now. In this film, we've got Bob Proctor, Joe Vitale, John Ossoff, my best friend, John DeMartini, Marie Diamond. We've got Marina Bruni. We've got Dr. Karen Perkins. We've got Travis Fox. We've got, Bob Doyle from The Secret is in there as well.
Love him.
We've got, just so many people. Megan.
You mentioned Joe Vitale.
Joe is in there. Yeah.
Joe
Megan
is
in there too. I mean, we've got some amazing people, some that you've never seen before, but wow, you're going to be blown away. And we're going to be sharing with you some insights around thought that you just never thought about. And something that's also interesting in that is you've heard this study that says every day we have, 60 to 70,000 thoughts.
Right.
First of all, I congratulate the poor guy that got stuck counting that.
Right? there's another. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how did you come up with that? But anyways, uh-huh. I'll take their word for it. But in there, they say that 80 to 90% of the thoughts, you've always heard them report about negative thinking,
right.
are negative. But that study has actually been incorrectly shared for so many years. And you've heard it at every seminar you've been to, but every person that shared it has shared it wrong.
Right. So share it with us right.
So you're going to have to watch the film for the
what a teaser.
But let me share with you one of the things that they lack. It's not just positive or negative thinking that are your only two options. There's actually other options, and one of them is what we call neutral thinking.
Right.
Which, if you look at that 80 to 90% of where we spend our thinking, it's actually not always negative. I don't think most people are always, life sucks, right? Like most
right.
people aren't that all the time, but most people are neutral thinkers. They fall into the ritual.
They're on autopilot, right? They're on autopilot. They're not paying attention to what they're thinking. They're letting
right.
their subconscious mind control it, right?
That's right. So we've got those three kinds of thinking, but there's also one more that we talk
Ooh.
About that will help you unlock the manifestation process. Another thing that I'm going to share with you in the film that's quite interesting is that we don't believe thoughts become things. We don't. And you're going to see what I mean by that when you watch the film.
We don't, but we should.
No.
We shouldn't.
Thoughts don't create anything. You're going to see this.
Frequency does.
Well,
frequency attracts.
No.
It's a quantum physics thing.
You're going to have to watch the film. And
oh,
see
okay. So how do they watch the film?
It'll surprise you, but you'll also go, wow, okay, I can see that. But now, because I see it, I can access it. Right?
Right. Because if we don't know what we don't know, how do we ever put that into our lives? You know?
So you've asked how you can watch the film.
Yes.
And I'll even show something a little bit cooler than even just watching it. Because what we're doing, obviously, is we're giving those that resonate with this material the opportunity to participate. You remember when The Secret came out, lots of people got involved, but not everybody made a lot of money on it. Right? Everybody's happy to tell their friends, but The Secret didn't pay you to do that.
Right.
We want to pay you to do that. And so right now we've also got an affiliate program for those who are interested to spread the message and maybe want to coach this or share it with others. We have a really cool compensation structure and we're going to help you make a lot of abundance in your life just sharing the movie. So the way
that's just what you talked about, right? Is a co-venture, is completing this whole thing. Yeah.
So we're looking for partners. You want to join with us? You like our energy? You like people like Bob and Joe and John and all these guys? Come and join us. So here's kind of what you need to do. Your first step, head over to www.howthoughtsbecomethings.com. There is no fee to register as an affiliate to start promoting this. There's no cost at all. We're happy to support you. We've even got market materials that you can share and put on your website, your social media, and whoever watches it, we obviously track that, and you're going to make some money. So if you've got a tribe that really resonates with this, get involved, and we'd love to support you. And then to watch it, on April 24th, it becomes released to the public for the very first time, and it will be available on that site as well. Now, I want to mention we're doing a few things that are a little different with this movie that maybe you haven't seen in other movies as well. One of the things that we've discovered, and not just myself, but all the other teachers that are in the film and others that are behind the scenes, is that people learn best not just through emotionally dialing in, like emotive learning. We get motivated and we're excited, but not also with procedural learning, which is kind of like a cooking show. Someone gives you a checklist and you do a few steps and you've got it. No. Because the truth is if you're watching a cooking show and they teach how to make cupcakes, you're not going to be able to make filet mignon, right? So we've taken it to a higher level, which we call implementational learning. So a way that you can learn that you actually translate it from the screen and that directly into your life. So you can actually do it in real time. So in addition to watching the movie, there's actually a really cool set of learning tools that you can use alongside the viewing of the movie. So there's a really neat workbook that has exercises along with the film.
Oh, that is just brilliant. And I also noticed that there was a coaching program that goes along with
it.
There
is.
I love that. Yes.
And there's also an audio program that goes along with it and a series of training modules that go with it. So it is a complete package. Now, by the way, you've touched
that
on
word
the coaching
again.
Yeah. If you've touched on the coaching program, I got to mention that one of the things that we felt was really challenging when The Secret came out, everybody and their dog became a law of attraction coach.
Right.
Right. Like just overnight, everybody was.
I'm a life coach. That's what everybody said. Yeah.
That's right. And I think what happened is The Secret kind of lost track of their brand. And also.
And I also think it didn't go deep enough, right? It was a wonderful first.
It was the beginning of a conversation.
Right.
Yeah, it was the beginning
of a conversation. But it didn't tell you the depth of what you needed to know to really make it work.
And let's be honest, because they didn't control the brand, they couldn't really control the quality of the teaching either. So some people were subject to things that maybe weren't as helpful or even as accurate or as truthful as it could have been. People were sometimes just getting motivation under the sort of label law of attraction or what have you.
Right. So and then it didn't work for people. And then they think it doesn't work, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It works when you know the process.
Yeah. So what we're doing right now is we're looking for people who also want to be trained as our How Thoughts Become Things coaches. And so if you're interested to do that, shoot us a message. You can do that through the website as well. And we have a very in-depth curriculum where you can learn about what we are presenting in the film, obviously talking about how thoughts will generate manifestation in your life, and not just from, let's call it the sort of the quantum approach, but from some very factual science, from some neuroscience that most people are not aware of. In fact, something that's really interesting is that one of the neuroscientists that I was talking with had mentioned to me that, get this, 98% of what we've learned about the brain has changed in the last 10 years.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, even if you study things like NLP that were developed in the 1970s, right, so much of that has now been expanded upon.
The neuroplasticity of our brains are just amazing. 100%. Yeah.
It's incredible. And so if you teach this kind of stuff in any way, shape, or form, you would find becoming one of our coaches will add an instant power and fuel to what you're doing that no one else has on the world right now to be able to teach to the public. So this is a really interesting time that we live in that you can actually gain this advantage in your own practice as a coach or a speaker to become a certified, authorized How Thoughts Become Things trainer.
So in addition to your own coaching program. This can be in addition to one that you're already involved in.
Yes. And you know what's really kind of cool about this is we're already getting requests from different groups around the world to have speakers from the film come out. And the truth is, you know, I'm busy, Bob Proctor is busy, Joe's busy, and we can't always send people out, right? Like John DeMartini's got a massive schedule.
Right.
It's just oftentimes our schedules are jam-packed 3 years, 4 years in advance. And so when you become one of our certified trainers, we have already leads that we can share with you of people that want to have you either come out and speak, or people that want to coach, or people that have inquired through the website and they want to learn. And so we'd love to support you as you support the film. We've got opportunities.
I love the energy and the creativity and how you're sharing, because once again, there's not just one pie we're all fighting over. You know, this new information age, there's so much that we can share with other people and that we can do co-ventures with other people. I just think what you're doing is so needed, so transformational, so brilliant. I appreciate everything.
And so fun.
And so fun. Isn't it fun?
Yes,
it is. And this shit works.
Can I quote you on that? I love
you
it.
May. We'll
it
I love
front,
that. That's what my husband.
The front of the book.
It's going to really, go in front the book. Paula says this shit works, so you got to take it.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you so much. I don't want to let you go. I want to have you back on as soon as I can, but I want you to tell everybody how they get a hold of you, howthoughtsbecomethings.com, but also you personally, do you have a website to get a hold of? I know you're on Facebook.
Yeah. And you know what, if you resonate with us, there's definitely programs that we have, but I'm going to invite you to actually just check out a lot of our free resources at first. We've
Wonderful.
Got so much that's available for free. So if you go onto YouTube, I've got a channel that's there. Just Douglas Vermeeren, type that in. You'll come up with my channel, and there's, you know, appearances on Fox, CNN, NBC, ABC, all the big media, but also tons of the daily stuff that I do. I do a daily video for Entrepreneur of Influence. We also have a podcast, Entrepreneur of Influence. You just got to Google it, Entrepreneur of Influence podcast. Also on social media, on Instagram, just type in my name, Douglas Vermeeren, you're going to find me. Every day also on Instagram, we've got some really cool things that we're sharing, which is quotes and wisdom from some of the top of the 400 achievers that I interviewed. So if you're in business and you even just want a quick blast of wisdom, Instagram is a really great place to get that from us.
And I want to say I got on your YouTube, and there's some very inspirational things that you're sharing with people about the time that we're in right now. And they're short and they're inspirational, and go look him up on YouTube because it's amazing. So I want to thank you so much for being on my show. I had such a good time. I just love what you're sharing, and you're making a huge difference in the world. So thank you so much for being on my show.
And thank you for having me. It's been fun.
It's been fun. Thank you so much. And we will be right back. And we are back. I was so impressed with all the information that he presented to us, and that all the opportunities there are out there for all of you that want to take your lives to the next level, or maybe start coaching on your own. So please look him up. Please watch the movie. Please get on my website and you can find the movie there. Paula Kid Casey or lawyerofattraction.com. Either one, it'll be available on that. As well as, I would love to have you reach out and put out any question or information that you would like for me to talk about on my radio show. Paula at paulakidcasey.com is a good way to get a hold of me. There's a great 7-day magic of intention that is on my website. And basically, it's 7 days of you get a email every day. It takes about 30 seconds to read, but it helps get you in that frame of mind that when you understand an intention is the next important thing in your life, it can change your lives. So I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank Doug for being on our show today. It was amazing. It gave me a lot of things to think about. I hope it did you. And like Ram Dass says, we are all just walking each other home. And I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. I am Paula Kidd Casey, the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance